Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Welcome, everybody. And today we are going to be living the future with Gary Douglas.
Yeah. Terrible old man who knows that something different is occurring.
Yeah. So, by the way, I wanted to like seriously thank you because yesterday you and I spoke for maybe half an hour about a bunch of ideas and stuff that I was working on. And yeah. I felt like better than I have felt in months and months and months. I was so happy and so clear. Thank you.
Pleasure.
And I'm aspire to have that effect in the world and in people's lives as well.
Well, be a woman of few words and be willing to be what nobody else can choose.
Boom.
Mic drop.
And starting off from there, living the future. How do we move to the future after quarantine?
Well, first of all, you got to get that nothing will ever go back to what it was. People always have this point of view. It's all going to open up. It's going to go back to what it was. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Too many people are living with the fear that this stuff is going to get worse.
Oh.
So they're going to try to maintain the distancing, maintain, you know, in their homes. A whole lot of companies have realized they can function without having business sites. So it's like the end result is going to be, you know, it's like there's a good possibility there will be company stores that will close down. And what they will do is have people working from home.
Right.
And as they work from home, people will not travel. They will not get out and around. They will not go out to lunch. They'll live at home. They'll work at home. Everything will be surrounded by their home.
What's the purpose of that?
For some people... Well, it's like the purpose of that is actually to control people. Yeah, the governments want to control people, and they want to get people to start doing cryptocurrency so that they can tax them easier and control money and money flows.
Right. No more wild animals.
You know, yeah. Those of us who are radicals, and by that I mean anybody who doesn't follow the norm, quote unquote.
Right.
Those of us who are the radicals will have, you know, will be trying to figure out how we function like we used to or closer to what we used to. But it's going to be a different world. And we'll just have to see what happens.
Right. And when you, it's really interesting when you, and I've heard you say this, I've actually heard a lot of other people say this in their way about how nothing's going to go back to the way it was. Nothing's going to be the same. And whenever I hear that, it always puts me in question. One of which I know is because a lot of the future is still, it's undetermined. That's what the future is. It's just this.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable. And people spent their lives trying to create predictable lives. And so that's one of the things that's going to be difficult for people.
Huh.
How do we get predictability back?
But doesn't that sound exciting?
I think so. But that's my point of view because I'm always excited for a new possibility.
Yeah. But I also kind of wonder when you say we're not going to go back, nothing's going to be the same again. I also kind of want to ask you, like, what do you mean or what do you see? Like, what do you see?
Well, what has happened for me with all this stuff coming up with COVID and so forth is I felt like we suddenly changed tracks.
Okay.
I've had the experience many times in my life of changing tracks without realizing what occurred that created that. But suddenly I knew I was not going down the same direction. And I could remember things that other people did not seem to have ever experienced.
Right. Which is something that you said to me yesterday, which was just like when you're more conscious, you tend to remember things. When you jump tracks, you tend to remember the stuff that no one else seems to be able to remember anymore. But that's what's so exciting.
Because it never existed in reality. When you jump tracks, what did exist doesn't exist and never did exist. And we tend to lose track of, you know, we tend to lose track of that. Some people never, quote unquote, experienced it. You know, I mean, and the thing about this COVID stuff is like literally people are acting like it's always been this way, and this is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's always going to be.
Well, their vantage point is very narrow. They don't really, there's not a big, not a super big vantage point happening.
No, it's like they have pictures on the TV of people at the beach sitting in small groups of three or four, and there's 6 feet between the small groups and then 20 feet between everybody else. Now, for a long time, there were too many people on the beach for that to be a reality. Now they've convinced people to stay home, so it is not a difficulty anymore. Weird.
One of the things that I've experienced, and one of the ways in which I've experienced the jumping tracks, was recently my husband just filmed a video or made a video entitled "What is Access Consciousness?" And he set up a little like interview station at one of the classes somewhere. It was recently. It was somewhere. And a bunch of people did videos, and I did one as well. And I was like telling my story of access. And when I rewatched it, I noticed how I was like acting out the story, but that I had literally no connection to what I was saying, which was I used to hate myself and I used to want to kill myself. When I first
that's not true anymore.
No, exactly. Not only is it not true, but it doesn't exist anymore. Something that I only remember as a story, not as a visceral reality.
Yes.
And I realize when
changing tracks is about, you know, it's like you literally lose the visceral reality. You can have a story about it, but you don't remember it.
And how much of the story that people use or tell themselves or try to hold on to prevents them from living the future that's possible.
Yes. And it's like what you want to do is you want to be living the future and creating it. Now, I came up with a process the other day.
Cool.
For people to run all the time to let it be easier for them. I hope. So what energy, space, consciousness, and choice, magic, mystery, miracles, and possibilities can I be to create a reality beyond this reality with total ease?
Cool. And everything that is and everything that breaks up, let's destroy it and create it.
And also, then you can also change it slightly to create a future reality beyond this reality with total ease.
Ooh, I love that. Ooh, that one makes my heart sing.
There you go.
It's really interesting when you say create a reality beyond this reality and create a future beyond this reality, I wonder how many people actually want a reality beyond this reality.
Not many. Not nearly as many as I would hope. But most of the people in Access have that as a desire and a willingness. Now, one person said, it's like, with all this COVID stuff, what's the deal? And I said, well, number one, there were a couple of people who had the COVID at a class that we did. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but those people, they got sick, they went to the hospital, but they were out in a few days. Primarily because what happens when you are in a place where you have done all the body work and stuff that we have, it's like your body doesn't react the way it's normal. So what you have as a physical reality is different than what other people have. Those two people that got COVID for real didn't die.
I actually didn't realize how different my body was until this COVID thing. So it's sort of been like a gift for me in that way. There was a woman who I had like a very intimate conversation with at one of the classes who like messaged me like 2 weeks later. She's like, I got COVID. I talked to you, da da da. Like we were hugging and talking and da da da. And she was like, I was in my contagious phase. And I was like, wow, cool. So I'm completely unaffected. And I hadn't really gotten how different my body was until this.
When you do a lot of body work, it's like literally your immune system is different. It's not like others.
And that's something that I think has been gravely missing in this conversation is the empowerment element of what can you do to have a body that works rather than have a body that's susceptible to horrible things.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like if you take a point of view to be horribly, affected, then guess what? You get to be horribly affected. How fun is that? I love being horribly affected. Actually, I don't. So it's like, for me, not happening.
The entertainment of trauma?
Yes. But most people are entertained by the trauma, and the trauma makes them more valuable. And people get to show how much they care by the fact that they stay away from you. Oh, no, that's not. They stay away from you and they avoid you because they don't want to get what you got. You know, personally, I want to get what you got because you're infected with consciousness. That's my point of view.
Can you talk more about living the future?
Yeah. See, it's like if you try to go to what was in the past or recreate what you had in the past,
you're not living the future. Right.
You are actually trying to live the past. So your attention, everything you're shooting for is going backwards, not going forwards.
Okay. Right. Okay. That's really interesting because I recall about a month ago, when this whole COVID thing was like exploding, I think it was like a month ago. I don't know. Anyways, it was during Access Facilitators class and I had brought up a question with you about creating my access business in this new landscape and sort of being a little bit like inept and not really knowing where to go with it because things had to change. And you said, and I said, I feel like I've gotten lazy because I just rely on this way I've always done it. And you said, you're not lazy. It just hasn't been a necessity for you to create different.
Yeah.
And now it is. And I'm noticing, it's really interesting, the way I'm creating and the results and the feedback of what I'm creating is so different than what I'm used to, quote unquote, which it's easy to like dismiss what's being created now. And I'm so curious, but I know better than to assume it's wrong. I'm enthusiastic about discovering what is coming.
What else is possible?
Yeah.
And this is the place where you have to, you know, what else is possible becomes your operative state.
Yeah. The ultimate creative question.
Creating the future. Yes.
And living the future. Because I know that if you're in question, you're literally living into a creating future. And if you're in conclusion judgment, you're not living the future. You're in debt to the past.
You're trying to recreate the past and you're indebted to it.
Mm. Yeah.
You think the way you did in the past is what's going to create.
Hmm.
I mean, I talked with Paul at the castle the other day, and they've set up a new website. They've done all this stuff, which has been great. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, this is awesome. And for me, it's like, okay, and what else is possible?
Mm-hmm.
What else can we create? What else is there going on? And it's a different reality that we need to be aware of and choose. How can we live with this new reality?
I think it's very apt. Recently, you've done, most people out there wouldn't know, but if you do know, I mean, recently, literally, you just finished a telecall called Are You a Lazy Mofo? And
actually, I haven't finished it. Oh, it finishes this afternoon.
Okay, right. Okay, so literally, it's happening now. And I listened to the first two calls, and it was like profound. It was the way you were getting people to see what laziness actually was and how they use it as a distraction and all this stuff. It was just, it was like lots of aha moments for me. But what comes up, it's really interesting when you're talking about we have to create, I can feel how reluctant people are to have, they're like, oh, I have to create the future. Holy. It's not, I get to create the future. It's, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah. Yes, but that's one of the things you have is a difference, Shannon, and always have had. Oh, I get to create the future. Good. What's that going to be? You're more enthusiastic about living than you are about having a life. Having a life is the idea of you can complete something. Living is the action it takes to keep on trucking.
Living is the action. And action creates. Yeah, I just...
Action creates the future.
Yeah, action creates the future. So why do so few people trust in the future? You know, like people trust in the past.
No, they don't. They just know the past.
Aha, that's the difference. Okay, right. So it's they
it's
know the...
It's reliable if it's like the past.
Okay, they know the past. They don't know the future yet. Therefore, the future is suspicious.
Yeah. It's a... future mofo that might get you. It's suspicious.
It's the suspicious future mofo that might get you, or it's the suspicious mofo that might be amazing.
Well, not for most people. For you it is, because that's the way you are.
It's a real, like, I'm like always like willing to completely fail and be destroyed. Like, I'm always prepared for that possibility.
Yes, but the thing is, because you're prepared for it, you don't assume it's going to happen. You look for what might happen, and then you go, oh, wait a minute, that's not going to work out that way. Never mind, what can I change?
Yeah, and I also don't resist failure.
What else is possible?
Yeah.
No, you don't resist failure. You look at it and you go, well, if I fail, it's not a failure. It's just not what I wanted it to be.
No, and time, I mean, if you just let things keep going, it's incredible how time heals all wounds and shows all truths eventually.
Yes, the truth will out.
And that's where the future is really our ally, because in the future lies all possibilities.
Yeah, but most people don't look for possibilities. They look for predictability. Mm. Don't look for possibility, look for predictability. But if you look for predictability, you're looking for how you can be the lazy mofo who never has to create anything.
Bingo. Right, wrong, good, bad, all night, Todd Punctures, Boys and Beyonds. I love that. I am so excited to radically free.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm really grateful that you've sort of given me permission and inspiration to have and to choose.
Well, my basic point of view is you have to look at what you can have and what you can choose, not what you think something has to be.
Say more.
Well, people have the idea that they want to be entertained by their life.
Do you think they realize that?
You know? No. They don't want to know that's what they're looking for. They want to believe they're not looking for entertainment. They're looking for something greater.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something greater in my life. And what is greater? A better relationship, more money, a better house, a better place to live. You know, it's like you moved to Sweden and I thought you were crazy. But Sweden's closed down less than any other country in the world.
Sweden is the only country in the world. I don't know if it's the only one, but it's the only one I've heard of that didn't go into lockdown during COVID.
Yep.
And it kept its borders open to all other EU countries. And I mean, it's been so pleasant here. It's given me a lot of respect for Sweden.
There are no friggin' tourists.
But life just goes on and people are like, it's been actually like an incredible experience being here, how it's like people are being conscious, but they're also not being insane.
They're being aware, not insane.
Yeah, which is really different. So, I mean, congratulations, Sweden.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see where this all leads. I know that I suspect that once they start opening up more borders and stuff around the world, there's going to be another wave of infection. Because people weren't allowed to get infected properly initially. I think we're going to get attacked for saying that.
Undoubtedly. But the thing is, it's like they were talking about, you know, there were 8,000 people in Harris County, which is the county I live in Houston, okay?
Okay.
And there were 8,197 people that got infected with corona.
That they know of.
But, yes, but 179 people died. What percentage of the infected is that? It's not even 1%.
Yeah. So it's like a super, yeah, it's back to that thing about like being entertained by like the trauma and the drama. It's a good resource for that.
Yeah. People are having a good time with it. You know, I get to stay 6 feet away from you. The reality is people would like to never have to talk to anybody. That would be the best way to live. If I never had to talk to anybody, I would be so much happier.
Wow.
Is where most of them function from.
Sometimes I feel that way. I have to admit. Like, this is like one of the other areas that I'm aware that we've jumped tracks, and I'm really curious where this is going to go, is environmentally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love what's happened with the environment in 2 months. You know, there are flamingos on the big lagoon in Venice, and there's dolphins swimming in the canals, and there's fish that you can see in the canals, and all the water is clean. It's like, this is a whole different universe.
Yeah, like
but
literally.
It's the way everything, you know, it's like Earth does not regenerate itself, it generates. It always generates. All we do is fuck with it, so it can't generate what it's easy for it to generate.
Right. And that's what you and I are ultimately talking about is the place where we can stop fucking with even ourselves so that we can generate to the capacity and degree that we actually are capable of.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, and if we could work with Earth to be generative, what kind of different reality could we have?
Yeah, I'm so curious if anybody, I mean, I just wonder what would it take for some new policies to be instituted or social behaviors to take place where this environmental relaxation that's been allowed to occur becomes like more of a, not a possibility, but like it actually becomes the way it is?
Yeah. What would it take for it to become, for things to become the way it is, not the way you think it's supposed to be?
Because that's really definitely one of the things I don't want to go back to, is that constant smog and environmental strain produced by humanity. You
know, we'll see what Earth has created for us and what people are willing to see with the Earth. Because the difficulty, as far as I can tell, is the number of people who don't see the Earth and don't work with it. They work for what they want without any indication. It's the kingdom of me instead of the kingdom of we. And we includes the Earth. And people are beginning to see that as a possibility.
So I want to sort of like ask, like, if somebody recognizes that they're functioning from the kingdom of me, except I don't think that people actually.
Well, if you had the point of view of what can I create with this instead of how can I get what I want?
Cool. What would that create? Cool. So that's the difference between the kingdom of me. How can I get what I want? How do I get what I need? And what can I create with this? Which, creation is much more generative and in so contributes to all, which, I got to tell you, you really taught me how to function there. And I chose it because I saw how much easier it actually was to like live.
Don't tell people that.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Not that I want to like incentivize the choice, like the choice actually genuinely has to come from someone's in choice. And living is the kingdom of we tend to, it's really easy to tend to think that like there isn't enough. In fact, that's what most people desperately want to believe in. But in reality, there's actually only infinite possibility. And
well, see, I have a slightly different point of view.
Yeah.
I have the point of view that there's too much if you're willing to receive it.
Ooh, wow. Ooh. Is that a problem you're willing to have? The problem of too much.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the things that I've done that make no sense, quote unquote, to other people have created a different possibility. And people are different because of it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I love it.
Can you tell me or tell us, when you do things that are different, which you do, and the things that you're talking about that you do that are different that everyone thinks you're crazy for or totally don't get, like, what's your process of that difference? Like, how do you actualize into that?
I ask questions. What's this going to create? What's this going to look like? How's this going to work?
Yeah, yesterday I had been so stuck on a couple of scheduling things and this creative project that I'm working on. And I talked to you for, 25 minutes or something. And it was like all the blocks and stops were completely moved and everything was like completely green lights. And I'm like pretty good at being in the question and choosing beyond. But I got really.
But I did was ask you a couple of questions that incentivized you. Questions incentivize. It's like I ask you a couple of questions that let you look from a slightly different point of view. So you create a slightly different reality with total ease.
Which I so value. And it's such a joy to get to live through being more aware.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to have to do.
But you do have to become more aware. Do you think that you have that awareness is like a side effect or a component of creation?
I think it's the thing that actually incentivizes people to create beyond limitations that everybody else functions from.
Awareness incentivizes people.
Yeah. You know, people don't understand why I choose certain things.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. I mean, one of the things that's been interesting on, they had this DIY thing called Fixer Upper.
Yeah.
You know, it's a show that's on TV. And it's about these two people from Texas who started creating, you know, they would fix up houses and make them more valuable and make them more useful and usable. And now they're starting a television network too.
These two people?
And their television network. Yeah. Oh. You know, Joanna and Chip Gaines. And
yeah, I know.
They are starting their television, yeah. Magnolia Television Channel. But it's like everything they're talking about is people who are positive and kind and caring and help. It's no trauma and drama. There is no incentivizing people through the trauma. And I think it's funny that this should come up at this point in time.
Yeah.
Because everything on TV is traumatized through, you know, traumatized for incentive. This is a really bad thing, so this is going to make this good. No, it's not. It's just going to make a trauma. Trauma is not necessary. Nature does not do trauma.
Right. I have somebody who works with me who's like, sort of like 50% seeks awareness and 50% is constantly looking for a problem. And I looked at that and wondered, like, if all of her problems went away, would that be like too much choice or too much freedom? Or she'd have to, and she'd have to create rather than like always be at the effect of the problems.
No, she likes being the effect because then it's not her fault. She didn't do anything. Other people did it to her.
Yeah, that's her modus operandi, which is an interesting thing to deal with because it's like very me, not we.
Yeah. Don't you see how tough I've got it? And with all of this trauma and drama going in my life, look at what I can accomplish.
And I'm like, with
proof
all this
of value.
With proof of value. Hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass. I'm like, look at it with all this ease, joy, and glory going on in my life. Look at what I can accomplish.
Yeah. Well, the problem is when you have ease, joy, and glory in your life, you just accomplish. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to share it with anybody. You don't have a point of view about it.
Right. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to use it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, quickly, just to sort of add one more thing on here. Yesterday when we were speaking about, I was asking you a lot of questions about where you had been creating the business of access from, because I've watched that for about two decades now and grown up watching it and saw where it started and where it is now. And what I was noticing was a lot of the people that come and work for access or with access, a lot of the people's lives expand exponentially. And I had asked you basically what you had done to create that. And what you said to me was you look for what you can contribute and what's possible. And then we spoke.
I look for what I can contribute. And I also look, the other thing, which I don't think I did mention, is I always look for what people can't be, do, or have.
So how does that impact the expansion thing that I was indicating?
Well, the thing is, it's like when you realize what people can't be, do, or have, and you're willing to recognize that, then you don't try to create a thing that makes them choose something you would like them to choose.
Yeah.
You get to have them choose from a different place.
What does that mean? You get to have them choose from a different place.
Well, it's like if they can choose something different, will they become aware of something?
If they can choose something different, yeah.
Okay, so if somebody can't have too much ease in their life, mm-hmm. I don't try to give them too much ease.
Right.
Most people do.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
They think if you show them ease, they will choose ease. The one thing I am aware of, people could choose ease. The question is, will they choose ease? So I always look for, will they choose this? Not, can they choose this?
Right.
Can they? Yes. Will they? Different story.
Okay. And yeah, thank you for that. The patience of Job and the allowance of nature itself. It's still a quality I am endeavoring to possess and master.
It takes a little while. Don't worry about it. another 10 years, you'll have it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is living the future, my friends.
That is living the future.
And that's been something that I've seen some of the things that you've created over a long period of time. And I'm like, ooh, that's something that I value. That's something that I see a value for and in the world, yeah. Which has given me a great inspiration for creation, you know?
Yeah.
One of the other things that I recognized in our conversation yesterday was that a lot of the people that come to work with you are, they're like, they literally become generative.
Yes.
And I want, and that's
because that's, yeah. I don't try to control them at all. I give them a job and I turn them loose.
How does that equal becoming generative?
How it equals that is because what it requires for them to actually have, you know, like have control and have the willingness to have it. It requires them to choose. Requirement of choice is what creates the future.
Ooh. That's so interesting how you literally create a requirement of choice.
Yes.
Can you say more about how you do that, that you do that, and ways in which you do that?
Yeah, I say, okay, so can you do this? I ask them, can you do this job?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, yeah.
Okay.
I said, so if you do this job, what are you going to have to choose? What?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to have to do in order to choose this job?
Wow. Right.
And when I ask them that question, then they begin to look at, oh, what am I going to have to choose as a point of view creates a different possibility.
And then they become the generative source of handling that yes. job, instituting that requirement.
Yep.
Which is...
See what else they need.
Yeah. Which is like a super different work environment. It's definitely a work environment of empowerment and versus control and withholding.
And see, it's like, that's the other thing is I never withhold from people.
Mm.
Mm. But most people do.
Mm. God, you know what's so funny?
It's like, because I'm not interested in them failing and I'm not interested in them succeeding. But I am interested in them changing.
What a different target that is.
Yes, totally different.
I didn't realize how the thing about you not being withholding, I didn't realize, like, I thought that that was just the way things were, like that you talk about everything, that you reveal everything, that you share everything, that you're open about everything, because that's the way you brought me up. And then like when I got to be a young adult, I really realized that like too much, most people were like, that's way too much information. They weren't used to the openness or the free flow of information.
Well, but that's also the reason I say, you know, like only tell people what they can hear.
Right.
Don't tell them what you want them to get.
Right. But you've also through that not withholding, you've also taught me that I don't need to hide things about myself from myself. And that I don't need to hide things about myself and I don't need to hide
from others.
Because when you start hiding things, you're very controlled by it.
Yes. You're totally dominated by what you try to hide.
And you don't really, I mean, yeah. So yeah, we've sort of deviated from the living the future, but this is all generative components that go into actually having a generative future.
Yeah.
So is there anything more that you would like to finish with?
I would just like to finish with creating the future is recognizing that you must be the question of what's different and what's possible that you have not yet chosen. Because you know what is different and what is possible. You just haven't chosen it yet.
I love that. How exciting. How does it get better than this? Thank you. Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.